You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Welcome to Axe to Grind, the hardcore podcast. I'm Bob.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Tyler.
Tyler, Axe to Grind. Hey, everybody. Thank you, Tyler. Thank you for joining us. It is actually, it's very nice to see your face. It's nice to have you joining us. Some longtime listeners might be more familiar with Patrick from Axe to Grind. Tom, what happened to Patrick from Axe to Grind?
How do I say this without getting angry? Should I open the curtain?
Yeah, pull back.
Okay, so our buddy Tyler is in town from Louisville. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to make plans for the day, try to hang out with him, try to hang out with our buddy Brian Wallace. This morning I text the Axe to Grind group chat. What time tonight? Bob within 2 minutes. 8 p.m.? Cool, which is what we usually do.
Normal, easy.
No response from Pat. But now we know Pat has been off of tour because he was over in the UK and some European dates with Citizen. Mm-hmm. But I think we figured out that he was going to be done like Thursday or something, the last time we had spoken.
Yeah, maybe it got hazy, but yeah. He would be, Sunday would have been tough, but today, recording on Monday, was very doable, yeah.
So, actually, I'll just read you the you know what? Fuck it. Let's go all the way behind the counter. We're just doing...
Yeah, we're getting right in. Tyler, you're here for the slaying. Note, Patrick died on the way back to his home planet.
Yo, so, I was avoiding not making a joke like that. Isn't he in the air right now?
Maybe. Who knows?
Oh, well, let's see.
He could be lying. Who knows? Well, he said he'd be home by 11.
He is in the air. You're right. He is in the air right now.
Well, how? All right. Can I ask you?
Yep.
What time tonight? So that was 9:23. Bob Shedd at 9:28. 8:88? Question mark. Tom Sheen at 9:28. Sure. I think PK is stateside. I said should be by now. An hour and 15 minutes later. No, on the plane. I won't land until 7 p.m. PST, which would put us at 10 p.m. for you, but realistically won't be at an apartment until 11 p.m. your time. This may be a blah, blah, blah. You know, if you fellas prefer, we can do that in the morning. Now, number one, tomorrow morning is Tuesday morning, which is, I got a job. Mm-hmm. And this episode comes out on Tuesday morning at like 6 a.m. So even if we had the quickest turnaround in radio history, we wouldn't have gotten it out nearly in time.
No, credit to him. He would have gotten it up pretty quick because he can. However, he wouldn't have been up until 8:30, 9 o'clock.
If that.
Pacific time. Right. It's noon Eastern, which is 6 p.m. Euro time. And then... let's say we record for an hour, give him an hour. All of a sudden, this is a Tuesday afternoon Axe to Grind, and that just doesn't feel right. So,
no. But yeah, so Pat, I don't know. Pat,
just, we'll see.
Pat's we'll going to Pat.
I hope he lands safely.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll let you know. We'll update the group chat.
Hope there's like a couple of like skids, just a little bit, just put the fear of God in them. So he can like appreciate time, like his time on Earth. And the time of other people's.
I think he appreciates his time on Earth.
On Earth? Yeah, he does. I don't know if he cares about the rest of ours.
He's very selfish about time. We talk about it. He's good with it. But he does like his time. So everybody, Tyler is joining us. Tyler is from Louisville, greater area. Where are you actually from? Are you from city limits or what is your town? Where are you from?
I'm like from Louisville, greater areas. Louisville Metro is pretty big. It absorbed a neighboring town, Jeffersontown, when I was a kid. But my area of white trash, Fern Creek, has always been considered Louisville Metro.
Oh, yeah. Love to hear it.
And also, I appreciate you saying Louisville.
I try. You know,
we learned that from Isaac and from Brian. We had them on very early on the podcast, and they were like, it's Louisville.
Yeah, the rolling, the little.
Yep.
It's like molasses coming out of your mouth. Yeah. Yes.
It's like you've been punched in the mouth. Yeah.
Punched in the mouth by Louisville. All right. And so before we get deep into the conversation today and the fun hijinks, we're going to say thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to Closed Casket Activities.
God tier.
Thank you to Live a Lie.
Thanos.
I like that. Thank you to Convulse Records.
Whatever the God Peeler.
God Peeler.
God Skin Peeler.
God Skin Peeler.
God Skin Peeler, which I didn't realize that was. I just liked the band name, and then I looked it up, and I was like, oh.
And thank you to Run for Cover Records.
Godzilla Minus One.
Yo, I have to pause. Have either or both of you, I'm hoping, seen the Godzilla Kong New Empire trailer?
I'm in.
I haven't seen the newest one, but I saw the first one, and I was in for the last one.
So in this, the newest trailer, obviously it has the like comical running Godzilla, which is pretty good.
Sick.
The new trailer, and I don't think this was in the earlier trailers, has Kong putting on a Thanos style gauntlet.
Yes. I noticed that in the poster.
It's insane. It's crazy.
Because whoever he's beefing with is like beyond powerful.
So he needs
it's another
armor.
Kong.
He needs
weapons.
Yeah, it's another Kong, and we get baby Kong. So like we got Diddy Kong, we got the whole Kong family.
I'm into it.
So shout out to that. We are going to keep it light and quick here so we can get right into the true nonsense of the episode. Go to runforcoverrecords.com, and at the same time, two windows open, same browser, go to convulserecords.com. Why am I having you do that? Because Fiddlehead and MS Paint are currently on tour together in the UK with our buddies from Belgium, Wrong Man. Shout out. Please check out Wrong Man. That said, I'm going to encourage you. You know what? I was going to say, hey, get this Fiddlehead record, da da da, music, blah blah blah, pant, blah blah blah. Now, get the Fiddlehead ID card sweatshirt. You know why? Because it's what McLovin would do. It's got a real McLovin energy. And you know what? You just need a fun sweatshirt sometimes. It's ID card. It's got smiley faces. It's red. It's a champion hood. So it's nice. So go get it. Fiddlehead ID card sweatshirt, runforcoverrecords.com. And on Convulse, we're going to get you onto that MS Paint post-American LP. People are still tripping on this record. I think people are still discovering it. It is fascinating how far and wide it's spreading. They're just doing something that's really kind of angular in the space that they're in. And that's something I think we're seeing more and more of, is that I've had people hit me and be like, yo, this actually reminds me of this and this. And I actually see some of these comparisons. But where MS Paint is coming from, one, I don't know any punk bands from Mississippi, full stop. But two, the kind of development and evolution of their band, it's fascinating. So everybody should at least check this record out. Came out last year, really big, and I think it's just going to continue to be one of these records that, I'm not going to say it's going to define this era, because if I'm being honest, I actually think this band might have more in front of them than they do behind them. But I think it's something that's resonating with people in a new way. And that's always something I look for in my punk and hardcore, especially at the moment. So go to convulserecords.com and check out that MS Paint record. Tyler, Tom, how you doing? How you feeling?
I'm good.
I feel like shit.
Why do you feel like shit? What's up?
I said this yesterday before we even played the Long Island show, but I said it feels like somebody cut me in half, filled my legs with cement, and then reattached them.
Okay, so everybody who's not familiar, Tyler is in the straight edge band Inclination.
Very straight edge band. Yes.
Very straight edge. Why do your legs feel like cement? You're in New York. You've been walking.
Well, the Brooklyn show, I was moshing with our friend Andrew Vacanti.
Mr. Combust.
Most of the bands that played, and then after playing, the Brooklyn show and not playing a show since September. My body's just not used to the shit, dude.
I think he was as excited to mosh for Scarab than he was to actually play the show.
I was more excited to mosh than
Scarab. That's what it seemed like. Yeah, you're like, some locker and Scarab. Like, I'd rather just mosh and then miss our set. Like, I don't care. Like,
Those are two bands I think everybody should know. Let's just jump into that. The big Mind Force weekend happened, even though it was only, it ended up being just one show, Mind Force weekend. The
80% of the first one.
Yeah. Okay, 80%. Okay, good.
Yeah, everyone but Mind Force, they got stopped during Balmora.
Yo, it's the whole situation sucks about the show getting shut down.
Yeah, it's terrible.
However, on a pure like hype, like get big, like, oh, I guess you just have to come back tomorrow energy. I like it for Mind Force, you know, like
big. And they're gonna make up that show, and like the next show will be at the Mind Force, sold out, and it'll be cool. Whatever.
Yeah, good God. So, anyways, tell me about the shows. You guys were both at them. What was I doing? I was homebound with a bunch of children. I had some youth sports to deal with. Those went well this weekend.
You're watching Steph and Sabrina.
I did watch Steph and Sabrina. I did not watch the dunk contest. That was dookie.
I can't believe as a kid how big the dunk contest used to be. And now, like, I know Kenny Skywalker because of the goddamn dunk contest.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now it's like nobody even cares.
And the participants are like, Tom, if me and you could jump just a little higher, they'd let us in it. We can just.
There's no stars. There's no LeBron, right? There's no anybody.
So the biggest name that did it was Jaylen Brown on the Celtics, who's an all-star, but not far from a superstar.
He's not Tatum.
No. And he kind of didn't do well. Kind of embarrassed himself a little bit.
And he's short.
He's like 6'7", but he's not. Big? Okay. When he, you know what? If he did the dunk contest when he was a rookie, he was like an explosive kind of sinewy dude. Dude's bulked up. He's not the leaper. Like, he's not explosive leaper like he was. He can still dunk, but he's just not exploding out of the building. The best
who won
dunk
last
night,
year.
Oh,
wasn't it some random dude that didn't even like barely had a contract?
It's the same dude who won this year, Mac McClung, who was a G leaguer that the Sixers brought up like the week before the contest. And the NBA had the Magic do the same thing this year with Mac McClung, and he won again. An impressive little white dude who can jump out of a building. But 6'2". To be honest, best dunk of the night was Jacob Toppin, who's Obi Toppin's little brother, who's on the Westchester Knicks. Did a behind the spinning like 360 East Bay kind of thing. Like, I've never seen it before. It was amazing. And people were just like, meh, whatever about it. It's regardless, dunk contest sucked.
That sucks.
I got not great things to say about All-Star Weekend. However, guys, this is a hardcore podcast. Yes.
However, I'm a hardcore guy, and I've got a connection to this. I was there on Wednesday, Valentine's Day, helping my girlfriend set up things at the convention center next to it for
Indianapolis,
the showcase shit.
Yeah,
because she was gonna have to go up and work during Valentine's Day, and I said, well, you know what, I guess I'll go with you.
Yo, that's
what a guy.
That's a lover boy energy.
You hear that, everybody out there? Oh, so you went, did you
Pat
go
Kinlan would never.
No, it was
Pat
Tuesday never. Not Wednesday, because then Wednesday I had to work all day, and then Wednesday I because I was off. Fuck, I can't remember, dude. I worked so fucking much this week. And then
Tuesday was Valentine's, I think.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know.
Whatever. So it was Wednesday. It was Wednesday.
Okay, it's Wednesday. You're right. Yeah, it is Wednesday.
Because I had to make her, it reached the point where I was like, all right, we got to go home because I got to go to work tomorrow.
Wow.
Well, I'm glad you got to a little taste. I won't go on a rant about how expensive All-Star Weekend is. I spend a bunch of money on sporting events, and I'm not spending money on that. Let's talk about a hardcore podcast. You guys are hardcore guys. Tell me about those shows. Inclination played. You felt good other than the fact that you were really more excited about moshing.
Should I be honest, Tom?
You be honest as you want, and I'll be the voice of reality.
The Brooklyn show wasn't that great for us.
Okay.
I thought they sounded great.
Sounded good. Just
the sound of the venue was good. Just it was Mind Force's night.
Yo, sometimes that's the way it is.
It was Mind Force.
No shame in that.
And also, let's be realistic, if we're being honest, both shows sold out without anybody being promoted. So the kids that love Inclination couldn't get a ticket because it already sold out. And, you know, talking to people, there were hundreds of people on the waiting list for both concerts waiting for tickets to go back up on that the app that they use to sell tickets. You know, there's Dice.fm app.
Yeah, I think there's 500 on the wait list or something like that.
Yeah, for a place if it's 200. So, you know what I mean? We've all experienced that, like, when you're not promoted, it's like, oh, that was Poison the Wells night. Well, yeah, it better be because they're the only band that was listed. But I thought you guys sounded great. There's nothing more that I hate anything. I don't hate anything more than a horseshoe at a hardcore show.
It was a big one.
But it was big for everybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think, like, there should be rows of people in the front, central mosh. If you don't want to be involved in the singing or the moshing, you stand in the back, and that's how it should be. It should be like you're encircling the mosh pit.
I agree with that. Moshers should be up front enough that they are piled up in the corners for the divers because they're going to be the toughest people to take the dives. And when one comes back from the pit, one goes back in to take their place. There it is.
Yeah, okay. But at a place like, you know, these places that have 2-foot stages, I mean, if you're what kind of a sick dive, you know, if you're not HR.
There were some sick dives during Mind Force.
That's true.
I saw a kid dive and roll over the wall thing on the side.
Yeah.
And on his feet on the wall and then dive off of that onto people. Sick. And I was like,
you had the best mosh ball.
Thank you.
This motherfucker goes, Eric Adams lives in New Jersey. That was the mosh call. I was like, that's a smart mosh. I mean, that's
a really good mosh call. That's a good one. Yeah. Yo, political Eric mosh. Adams, man.
Thank you. I was like, I wasted that on a bunch of people who just stared at me.
Very niche. They probably don't even know who Eric Adams is.
You got to do is you got to make the bumper stickers. Eric Adams lives in New York City. The problem with that is not everybody in New York City has cars. So what are they going to do with
it? Yeah, exactly. And then you guys played Long Island.
Long Island was insane. Every band had a good set.
Tell me the Long Island show.
So this band, Liberate, opened. I think it was their fourth show or something. Cool. Heavy shit. Very cool. Singer was saying things in between songs. I love to hear it. Love to hear somebody care about hardcore in general. And then up next was Ultimatum from Western Mass, Connecticut, I think.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I think they're a bit both. They might be all Connecticut. I might be out of school. I should know because I'm putting out a 7-inch for them. But, it's Broken Vow Kids. It's Evan.
Oh, yeah.
Evan and Harrison from Broken Vow. But it was very cool, very sick. Kids were killing each other at the show. From the first band till the end. And then was, I'm trying to think right now.
Private Mind?
Well, Private Mind played before, yeah, I guess Private Mind played before Combust. And so I had never seen the band before or seen what any of them looked like. That little Dan kid who sings for Private Mind and plays guitar was going off all night. For everybody. And then I find out he's in like the soft band. So cool.
He gets the stuff later.
You got to do that. You got to show off.
That rocks. That's so sick. Yeah. But I mean, even like, I even fucking moshed for Private Mind because it was fun, dude. It was awesome.
That record's good.
Yeah. No, I'm a believer now. I heard it and I was like, it's all right. And now I saw it and I'm a full firm believer in Private Mind now. And Combust, that was just fun. It was great seeing Eric Hoyt. He's one of my favorite Corman, I think I know, period. And Picanti looked great. As he always does.
Fully dipped in polo.
Do we think his fashion hurts him? Hurts Combust?
It's got to be. Is it a bit at this point?
I don't know. I don't know. We got to. So are we saying?
I don't think it's a bit. I went to high school with kids like him.
That's right. Yeah. There's
a
type. There's an archetype of that.
I can't say what the word is anymore. But it wasn't a pejorative term when I was
yes,
a kid.
That's right. That's right.
I heard somebody use that word to describe Travis Kelce the other day. And somebody not use the word, but insinuate it. And
Okay.
Oh, no, it's a different word. It's a different word from
you. It's a different word. It's a different word.
You're thinking of like just changing a letter. No, I'm thinking of it has nothing to do with nationality, but if you've ever seen like the Jersey Shore.
Yes.
People would be called Guidos.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I went to school with kids that were like from the Middle East, like that were Guidos. I went to like, they were Greek Guidos. They were Italian Guidos. I feel like
those people wear affliction though.
But when you can't wear affliction when you're trying to take your girl out, you know what I mean?
Affliction doesn't saturate New York City as much as you would imagine. I think it even Staten Island, I think affliction doesn't have the reach. Polo, Guido also is a little more, it's more city, more Italian. More polo.
Yeah, and I think a lot of hip hop people wear polo, and that's a thing, you know.
That's where he's getting it from.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and him and Jay, you know, they pull it off.
Oh yeah, no, good looking dudes with good style. Like that's the fun part.
It's hot up there. I know how heavy those sweaters are and shit that they wear, like the polo shirts.
I couldn't do it.
It's too hot, man.
Especially both of the shows we played, man. The mirrors at Massapequa VFW were completely covered in fog by the end of our set.
Right,
it was rough.
Now imagine you're wearing like a sweater with a teddy bear on it or some bullshit. You'd be like,
I can imagine having a heat stroke. Yes.
It's just for everybody, the Combust Another Life LP stays being one of the best modern New York hardcore records.
Amen.
Dude, they sounded fucking phenomenal. But our set went really well. I told Tom earlier, I drop kicked a kid and one of my shoes flew off. So that was funny.
Instant karma.
Yeah, no, I was being a prick. But it was awesome. People were vibing with it.
That's great.
The Brian Wallace story was crazy that he just told. Can I repeat that story?
Please do.
Sure. I don't even remember what it was.
So some younger kid, you know, moshing his face off during
creation,
whatever, going hard, moshing. All of a sudden they look and that kid definitely dislocated his shoulder. So one of the quote unquote adults in the room, could have probably been someone who was like 29 at this point, was like, brother, come here. And he like helped him put his arm back into its socket, and you would go like, all right, that's it for the guy for tonight. Nope, as soon as it went back in the socket, dude jumped right back into the mosh. So good for him. Wherever you are, dude in Long Island, hard styles, but be careful, because once you dislocate it, it's easier to dislocate going forward.
Oh yeah, no,
maybe wrap it up, you know what I mean, maybe put some K-tape on it, you know, like, be careful.
I can't speak on any of this because I did it at LDB last year and kept moshing.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's a thing. Problem.
Yeah, that's a problem. Can you guys give me the review of Mind Force TVI?
They were great. They did a song off the demo. They mixed it up a little bit.
Hell yeah. And
I'm gonna say it. I don't know if this is gonna be part of the repertoire like in the next couple of shows, but I'll say they did it at least Saturday night. Wise to the Game by 25 to Life.
Whoa.
Kind of at, in like a response to an Axe to Grind podcast episode.
Okay. Yeah.
Not in like they're shooting at us, but kind of like
they could be shooting at me. That's fine. I think
how so many people underplay how big that band actually was. And I was like, no, it's 100% true. Like it's easy because to look back on it now, knowing, you know, the last 20 years in retrospect, like, oh God. But like at the time, like they were the band. And watching them play that song, number one, it sounds like just like a dumber Mind Force song.
Oh,
and it sounds like every current New York hardcore band without Rick's voice over it. It could be 80% of heavy hardcore right now. It's amazing, and it was great. People went nuts.
It worked. It worked.
Yeah, it was great.
Look. If 25 to Life came back tomorrow with Jay singing, let me hear the demo. I'm curious.
Yeah.
I'm curious. I like the Crush Your Soul demo. I think there's flavor. I think that we'll do a full deep dive 25 to Life.
How full? How full? Can we go like
first
2 feet? Like
we're
I don't want to go
coming correct. We're doing everything. We're doing everything. Fuck it. We're going reverse order so people can get the real flavor. So we can say, hey, here you go. Oh, this is what you're repping. Cool. Cool.
We're going to rep. Yeah. We're going to start in 2012 and go backwards to the good shit.
25 to Life was a very big thing. Shout out to the people who are curious about it. I think it's a bit rewritten, but that's okay. Because also, like, look, it was a weird.
So was Outburst.
Oh, totally. Completely. And like, you'll hear me out here repping on the Outburst, like loving it.
I love it too.
But it's, Tom can speak to this better than anybody. 90s New York is a funny thing. It has its moments where it's like, yo, obviously it has your heart, Tom, because it's where it's your bread and butter. But at the same time, stuff doing what 25 to Life was trying to do sonically, not much of it, right?
Well, I mean, bands that were trying just weren't good. Like,
right, they
were,
that's still, what I mean.
They were pop, they were like a drawing band. They were 100%. Like, they drew people. Like, most of the other kind of stuff, there was times and places for it, but a lot of the stuff has gotten bigger in retrospect than it was at the time.
Yep. And like, look, I'll cop to this. I think the best thing about 25 to Life is the name. But
it's a hard name.
I also get my DMs flooded with people being like, yeah, you know, you're probably not wrong about 25 to Life, but still, whenever I hear Wise to the Game, bah, 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 I'm like,
oh. Yeah. So shout out, I think it's a time and place, though. And that's why I think, I mean, as a kid, that demo came out, I was like 17. I was like, this is fucking hard. It's graffiti. The guy's scary looking. This is awesome. This is what I'm here for. But like, if this came out when I was 38, I'd be like, get me the fuck out of here. I get it. Yeah, but I think it's like a time and place thing. Like, there's a lot of stuff that I listen to now, you know, with my ears now that I loved as a kid that I'm like, ah, some of it's still great and some of it doesn't hold the test of time. And I think, you know, but they did that. So that was great. Mind Force is just a, like, they played like the first four songs. And then I hear Mike go, hey, can I get some guitar in the monitors? So I turned to Brian Wallace. I'm like, this motherfucker couldn't hear himself for the force. Like, didn't miss a goddamn note. And I was like, I don't understand how there's not two guitars happening.
Fuck that guy.
Like, my mind just doesn't wrap its way around it. It's like, how, you know, like, do you have like the double neck Steve Vai guitar? Like, there's so much stuff going on. And they're all killers. Nick's a killer bassist.
Yeah, they are.
Fucking Donnie's an amazing drummer. Jay's an amazing. It's like, it's a murderer's row of a band that it's like, the next record's going to be even stupider. Like, this is just, it's not fair. They got the formula.
What I think that we gush on them the way we gushed on bands like Turnstile and Incendiary and whatever, you know, Power Trip even years ago. But I think the coolest thing is how creative those dudes are and how they don't stop. Like, Mike is like, he's got like three or four projects going. Jay's got two or four projects. You know what I mean? Yeah. And they all got, and that's just those two, but all those dudes got different stuff going on. So anyways, you don't need to hear News at 11, Axe to Grind, loves Mind Force, but we love them. Love them as people. They are definitively, you know what? I think they're one of the definitive bands of this time frame.
Easily.
And also have the definitive energy and are doing it the right way. And in kind of like this cool, like, I hope people look at what they're doing and how they're doing it in a model way in certain aspects, you know, but like looking at it and like, they play shows they want to play. They don't limit themselves to only a specific type of show, but they try to play different ones. They've played almost the entire country, despite the fact they've never done a full US tour.
Yep.
How's that work? I mean, what?
Yeah, they did weekends. How the fuck? Yeah.
And they made it work. And I don't know. I think it's like inspirational to people. And I'm going to put this in paper. I think it's been inspirational to people in that we're seeing other people do what they did. And right now, in practice, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So,
I mean, they've broken down the formula. People want to sing along and mosh.
Yeah.
Don't get in your own head. Just write sing-alongs and mosh parts. People will come to you.
And I think it's very rare that a band gets to do exactly what they want musically, artistically, and running their business, in quotes, at like themselves, and have so many people come along for the ride.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Like, you usually lose people because you burn a bridge or you write a record that people don't like because they did what they wanted to do instead of what the fans wanted to do.
Yep.
It seems like the people who love Mindforce are really game for anything they do and are ready to participate every time.
Yeah. And I mean, that speaks to the new record, the newest record, which isn't even new, but like, that's the record. New Lords is like the record for people.
Yeah. It's the best one.
Like, whoa. Yeah, I love it. I mean, I feel like I can't even correct you on that, 'cause I love Excalibur, but it's almost more like my sentimentality towards when I first heard that record, mm-hmm. as opposed, like, I think New Lords might just be objectively better. And it's amazing, because you're not wrong. I think they were able to thread the needle where they're doing what they want to do, doing different things, but all of it is in this cohesive, honoring the sound that they made, without like, man, when you see bands grow the way that Mindforce has. Sometimes, and I mean, this goes way back, you feel like you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like, when's the bad record?
You're waiting for
coming?
The betrayal. Yeah.
When's the we're going for it sound coming?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they could do that wouldn't be, you know, but major kudos. Arguably, maybe inarguably, but like the most important band in hardcore right now. Shout out to
Mark. No, I thank them for bringing me to New York right now. It's been a blast.
It's fucking awesome.
Oh, yeah.
So. So that was the shows this weekend. I love that. Tyler, before we keep digging, you've been great as third mic already. We don't do interviewee stuff. Interviews are cool. We'll do that once in a while. But what we love is when we have a third mic, somebody who jumps on and can just rap with us. You do a few things. You do Inclination. What's the latest and greatest on Inclination? You got any big stuff coming up that you want to talk about?
Dog, Inclination's the most frustrating band to be in because
yeah, you got a few situationships in that band.
There's so many situations. There's a teacher, there's a married adult with like a life and hobbies and interests outside of just hardcore. There's the guitar player in one of the biggest hardcore bands, metal bands going right now
in the world. Yeah.
Yep.
And a drummer who's also in a very active hardcore band that just had a record come out. So
who also
I'm
works
the one, full-time, I'm the right? one, yeah, who also works full time, and does meaningful work. And I'm basically the only one who's game for anything. And I just kind of have to wait for something to happen. There's possibly things getting announced mm-hmm. soon that we're
okay.
doing.
Okay.
I at least know possibly two shows we'll play this year. My news with Inclination is always, if you have the opportunity to see us and you like us, come.
Do it. Because you never know.
Come, because okay. I don't know. I don't think we're breaking up, but we might not play another in your area again for a year.
I like that, though. Right. It's actual scarcity. So
yeah, you've played New York how many times?
We've played
with last year in January with Incendiary.
Are we counting the around the city or the whole state period?
I mean, I would say like the five bar, like the city, because let's city. I mean city, Albany city, or Syracuse,
city, the city in Long Island. I'll listen to it.
Yeah.
That's it.
We've played Long Island twice and Brooklyn once, and now Queens.
Fuck. Okay. Brian, that's you guys it. Have put around how many you guys been around, 6-7 years at least
since 2019?
5 years.
I mean, COVID then kind of fucked that up, but I mean, and also Isaac.
Or no, maybe 2017.
That makes more sense, actually.
Yeah, it's 2017. Yeah. I can't right. remember when, because the timeline with one of the records gets fucked up, because now it looks like it got released the same year as the second one.
Oh, yeah, because right. the re-release. Yeah,
because when the rights got reverted or whatever.
Yeah.
But this is why you do other bands. So are you still doing Constraint? Maybe.
Everybody in Constraints and Gates to Hell.
Oh, I didn't realize that. All right, so there goes that. You have a new band happening.
I've been trying not to talk about it too much, because I do something so different in it that I was almost like
scat.
Well, I was almost scatting. I was almost hoping like when it came out, people wouldn't know I was in it.
Ooh, all right, we'll leave it there. Leave it there. I like that.
But I do have a new band.
You heard it. New singer at Ignite.
Tyler Ray Cyrus over here. I love it. Okay, so band stuff, inclination, many label. Years, label. You do label. LDB. Tell us about LDB, the record label.
I mean, it's a record label run by somebody who doesn't own a smartphone, a computer of their own. And yeah, I pick up all the records in person. I order everything through another party, packaging wise, and I put it together by hand and I ship out all the records myself.
So, all right, we got to talk to you for a second.
It's run as well as it can be.
Well, that's, I love it. I love the energy of it. We got to talk about something. You don't own a smartphone.
Yes.
I didn't own a smartphone till like 2004 or 2005, and people treated me like I was a leper. Let's talk about you because you're 20 years behind me.
You have a flip phone, right? Like an actual shell phone?
I love it. Okay, so talk to us about that because that has to be intentional.
Yo, I remember when I got that phone in 2002 and I was like mad hyped that I was like, I can play Snake. Yeah.
Wait. First question. Do you play games on your phone?
No, they don't even put games on this phone.
Okay. So, all right. Tell us about this. You do not have a smartphone.
That's the reaction everybody gets.
It's so good. It's perfect. I love it. So tell us about not owning a smartphone. It's a decision.
It is a decision. Yes.
That's what the song's about.
I've only had a smartphone for a brief moment, and it was because my flip phone that I had on another Mistake tour, the back of it had been missing for months, and I just had duct tape keeping the battery on, and that kind of exposure led to the battery swelling to like twice the size. So one day it just stopped charging.
Yeah.
And our bass player had an iPhone 3 that he was using as an iPod. And I can't remember what year this was. This had been like 2013, 2014. So I slid my SIM card in it and I used it for a minute. I hated it.
Okay.
I hated it. So the second I got home from tour, I got another flip phone. And I'm still flipping, dude.
Is it a bit at this point?
So it would be a bit. For real, but it does serve such a cool function, which is I'm walking around the show on Saturday and I've got my phone in my pocket and I take it out of my pocket and I set it on the ground behind a door and I go and I mosh. And then I come back and my phone is still there.
Because they think someone left it there in 2012 and never came back for it. Yeah.
No one's
ever. But that it's holding the door open.
No one's ever picking it up. No one's ever.
Are you that worried about your phone flying out of your pants when you're moshing?
Yes. I don't have anything in my pockets when I mosh.
You know, it's possible to mosh with stuff in your pockets, right?
You know where your chin goes.
I've lost debit cards, stage diving to Bitter End. I've broken cell phones, stage diving.
Debit is charged.
So
you need there's this thing they invented a long time called zippers. Maybe in zip pockets. I'm gonna get your address before we're on here. I'm gonna use this thing called Amazon, and I'm gonna order
you gonna buy you a wallet
with zipper pockets on them, so you can zip that shit in.
I mean, dude, I exclusively wear fucking camo pants with button pockets, but
you know what? We can. They have them where you can. Looks like it's the button, and you could still have the button, but then there's a zipper underneath it. Nobody even sees the zipper, and it'll keep your shit.
No, it keeps your stuff tight, high and tight, man.
I just like the freeness of not having anything tethered. I get it.
Okay.
Like, so holding you down.
So when we would go to fest, like This Is Hardcore UB, I would leave my phone in the car all day and I would just be living.
Yeah, you're in the minute. Yeah, I like
it. I'm never on my phone. I'm always just with whoever I'm with and I'm watching whatever I'm watching and I'm never watching it through my phone screen.
So do you even know stuff like, do you know what memes are?
I know what memes are. My girlfriend shares them with me.
It's like, we print them out to you. It's like,
here, I printed out four or five memes for you today. Check them out. They're pretty good.
Ashton like has to show like Tyler like TikToks.
She has a folder in her TikTok that's
show
Tyler.
It's like my granddaughter told me how to do the Shibidoo poop guy. I've been watching the Shibidoo toilet. He sounds like an old grandpa. It's amazing.
So major respect on it because I do appreciate it. I've left phones. I think about doing it more. You know, it's cool when you can put it down. I'm not a very online person other than for certain shit. But I appreciate it. But I saw someone, Jesus Christ. I saw someone being like, oh, it's not, you shouldn't be ashamed that Instagram is a part of your life. Like, it's a part of our lives. We should enjoy it. It's like a major thing for us. And like, you shouldn't be embarrassed that like Instagram plays. I'm like, oh my God, blow my brains out.
Part of your life. I mean, I guess it is, but it should be a very finite and small
part. Fucking Fight Club. Yeah. First rule about Instagram. Don't talk about it being a part of your life. It's a part of your life. Oh my God. So LDB is a caveman record label run out of, an abandoned
our spare room.
Hell yeah. What do you got coming up? Shout out some cool new
stuff. He uses like a bird to make the notches in the vinyl, like full
one of those perpetual motion machines. It's like burp, burp, burp.
Yeah,
burp,
it's like, burp, burp. Hey, it's a living. It's like the bird that does it in the Flintstones. That's how he makes the records for LDB.
Yeah.
Well, living.
Dude, peel back the curtain of fucking dark ass story. So we press our records through a local plant, and I go and I pick the records up in person. And that plant is currently run by the son of the guy who owned it because a vat of wax fell over on him.
Oh. Gonna recover?
No, the guy died.
Under wax?
The dude Travis, who I talked to, who I do all of our orders through. Is the son of the guy who had a vat of wax fall on him. But he just picked up the business and kept running it.
You have a local pressing.
Yeah, I drive 40 minutes to pick up the records whenever they are a thing.
A lot of people are getting them from the Czech Republic and stuff at this point because that's all you can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's...
I want to say this. I used to do the same thing when I lived in Southern California. I've actually been to a few record processing plants across the country, and there's more now than there's been in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to our friends who ship record processing overseas. Hats off the other way. They do good work.
It's faster.
It can be faster, 100%.
It's faster.
But I will tell you this. Being able to drive and pick up your records, one, you save money. Two, it's really cool. It really is a nice thing. And I know there's some folks up in the Northwest who do that. I know there's some folks in Ohio who do that. Certainly Southern California. Like, that was like revelation. We used to just drive and go pick those records up. Like,
wow.
Whether it was Rainbow or... Pirates Press is a middleman. Bill Smith Custom Records, shout out to Bill Smith. But it's so cool to go and pick
it's
up
so cool. It's so cool to see the stuff happening. It's awesome. But coming up, we've got the Ultimatum 7-inch, who I mentioned earlier. Shogun from Knoxville, we're gonna press their EP that just came out. That'll come out sometime this year. Mm-hmm. Other than that, you know, there'll be a second pressing of the Weapon X 7-inch, which is hot fire.
Yeah, people are going crazy about it.
Another pressing of Domain, and at some point this year, because that record's almost sold out, as well as Gates to Hell. But I mean, dude, wait time so much. We've got something kind of big that big for me. That
you can tease it. Okay. Yet. Yeah. Don't. Okay. Keep your eyes out. When are people going to hear about it?
We're pressing something that was never pressed on vinyl before.
Oh, that's the best.
But it's been out for a while.
Okay.
So, something that means a lot to me as a younger kid. So I'm excited for that.
Hell yeah. And then obviously, Louisville is your home. LDB is your thing, but there's LDB
Fest. You live
Fest.
On Bardstown Road.
LDB Fest is coming up next month. Let's just go through this because we will talk a little bit about fests and big shows today, which maybe that's all we'll have time for, but that's okay. LDBBB Fest, so shout out to Triple B. Tom, let's do this back and forth.
All right, let me pull it up. Give me one second.
Yeah, pull it up.
LDBBB.
It's going to be March 22nd and 23rd, Triple Crown Pavilion in Louisville. Where's the Triple Crown Pavilion?
So it's really close to the skate park that the fest was happening at in previous years when I played on fucking crutches and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
So Ryan and Alex and Colin, Ryan and Alex are the ones who started Midwest Blood Fest that evolved into LDB Fest. Yes. They're not really doing it this year. They're taking a year off because of Gates to Hell and personal health kind of stuff going on. So that's kind of the reason why Sam and Colin are doing it this year together. But they went and they tried to get the fest here the first year after COVID.
Yeah.
But they had a pinball convention going on the weekend that they were going to have to do the fest. But the people saw like what it was and they were like, let us know next year. We'll make sure.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
It can happen next year.
All right.
So like the places was game for this before it even happened, which is rare.
And did last year's happened at this place?
Yes.
This is where the Noctloose, famous Noctloose one was.
Yes. So that's where that one was. And so this place like wished they could have done the year before. So they made this year happen, or they made last year happen. And then this year they are thankfully, fingers crossed, God bless, doing the sub-stage thing that they did at Sound and Fury and have done at other big major festivals, which I think will save at least half of the broken ankles that happened last year.
Yes.
Because there was like 30 plus broken ankles from last year's fest.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, the little substage thing?
Genius.
Yeah, it's not perfect, but it helps a lot. It makes a big difference for these bigger shows. So
if you're going to have 2,000 people there, you have to.
Have to. Let alone eight, let alone whatever it is. Yeah. You know? So,
yeah.
All right, Tom, you got it.
Pre-show first?
Let's do pre-show first. Walk Alone.
All right, so it's...
I started Walk Alone.
March 21st. I don't know if you want to give that.
Oh, yeah. March 21st at Portal, 5 p.m. Walk Alone.
Power of Fear.
Nine Eyes. Reunion set. Real quick, hold on. Tyler, will the Nine Eyes reunion set... Are you going to mosh?
I'm going to go nuts, dude. Okay. I had to watch them from the side because I'd torn my ACL at their last show. I tore my ACL skating during Fuming Mouth, and like three sets or like four or five sets later, when I finally hobbled myself out from underneath the merch table on crutches, I watched the Nine Eyes set like a...
Explain Nine Eyes to someone who's never heard of them.
It's
very Louisville, right?
It's metalcore shit.
The One King Down song.
Yeah, it is a One King Down song, but that's not why they named it that.
Oh.
They actually aren't named for they're named for like, I can't remember what the thing is that Nine Eyes means, but it was like kind of just happenstance. Like I'm sure Peter, who plays guitar in Nine Eyes, who plays an inclination, I'm sure Peter might've known that, but the name already kind of existed with Jim, the singer, before the band was even really, because the first Nine Eyes demo was Jim by himself.
Oh, okay.
And then it evolved into just this metalcore, I don't know, like love expression for all the shit that missed me as a kid, but because there's all my best friends, I'll still spin a kick.
And this was like, had a moment in a time, like when was their peak? Like when was Nine Eyes around? It was like 7 years ago, 8 years ago, 10 years ago?
They were one of the peak Louisville bands going like the mid era of Midwest Bloodfest.
That's right.
So when it was still Midwest Bloodfest, Nine Eyes was one of the bands that played, it was like Berserk set.
Okay. We're going to continue going on our back and forth, but I wanted to pause there and let's put a pin in Midwest Blood. Cause I think it's now time to explain that a little bit too. All right. Witness Chamber, Tom said, Simulacra,
Volcano,
Sanction,
and World of Pleasure.
That's a good show.
I can't wait for that Volcano set.
Can I ask a question?
Go.
You, Tyler.
Let's go.
There's a weird like over 2024 on the flyer.
Hey, this is Steve Choi, host of the Musicians Guild podcast, part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. Within the four walls of the Musicians Guild, we'll be discussing the habits, idiosyncrasies, experiences, and general psychology of my friends and peers all involved with music in various capacities. Listen and subscribe at soundtalentmedia.com.
I can't tell if it's meant to be like a nod at a band that could be like a secret headliner.
Over 2024.
Are you looking at the same one I'm looking at?
I am.
All right. To me, that looks like the new Jesus Piece logo.
Hmm.
I've never noticed that on the flyer before.
I don't know if I'm making that up, but that's what it hits me as, the little Jesus Peace logo.
I'm going to go ahead and say, Tom, there's enough that I am not told about what happens in my city.
So it could be happening.
That I hope that I'm not sending anybody
up. Well, for I will say this. It's over the other one, too.
Oh,
so okay. It might just be for the luck. I think it's just the luck.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, just a look. I like that though. Can we get, let's get more Easter eggs on flyers. This is 2020.
I love that. Like when one of the letters is like the Hatebreed logo, you're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
I love little things like that.
Let's do this. All right.
Oh, I see what it is. It's the Days guy. He's peeking through the D.
What?
It's the Days guy. Look at the bottom of the flyer and you see the little Days guy with the hands.
Uh huh.
That's what it is.
You're talking about that D and LDB. Yeah.
That
we're talking about
saying the 2024
stuff over the 2024.
Oh, no, I see what you're talking about. Oh, yeah, I don't.
No, I think that's just 2024 written in a weird like ghost text kind of.
Got it.
Oh, yeah, I think it's just ghost text.
All right. Ghost text.
I see what you mean because it is on the other one.
Yeah, we are loose. I don't know if some fumes are going, but we're really on some shit tonight. All right. Well,
I never noticed the Days guy in the D until looking at it just now, so. Yeah, whatever.
I didn't until I had to like literally like it was like a Where's Waldo? I'm like,
and then I was like, Days has a guy,
the Days that, guy, and then I was like, oh yeah, is it that does Lumpy? Have a guy. Lumpy's peeking out of the
Lumpy's
D.
Peeking through.
Lumpy's out of the D. All right, March 22nd and 23rd at the Triple Crown Pavilion in Louisville, Kentucky. Two witnesses
surfaced.
Oh, Soul Blind. A band. Yeah, oh. Tyler, get in here. You get in. You're third. Soul Blind, a band I've been thinking about a lot lately. Scarab, a band everybody should be thinking about.
Missing Link.
Inclination.
Hey.
Hold My Own.
Shout out, Greg. Heads Will Roll, new band from Long Island. Newer band from Long Island.
Met their singer the other day. And well, actually, knew their singer, found out he was in the band.
There you go.
Hands of God returns.
Very cool. This is one of their first shows back. I think they played a Bay Area show.
I think they played a California benefit. Show. Yeah. But they had a legendary LDB set a few years ago that was like, it was like the set where everyone kind of was like, should we chill?
Yeah.
Like should everybody just calm down? Wow. Like there were so many kids getting drugged out during Hands of God at the skate park. It was nuts. I moshed for like three songs and I got out and I was like, I had no fucking business being out there.
Like I was out of my weight class there. This is just yeah.
Speaking of weight class, shout out to Gridiron.
Hell yeah. This is the first time they're I think this might be their first LDB.
Yes.
Is that right?
It's the first time in a little period.
Sweet. Ends of Sanity, North Carolina. Mm.
One of our bands, Domain, featuring on their new record.
But my boy Shane. Yeah. Big Boy, who probably is going to have low-key the biggest set of the weekend. Is that possible?
Probably.
Because I feel like I've seen every show I've seen of theirs has been crazier than the last. And they just played like Belmar and it was like fucking insanity.
Yeah. Balmora.
Apex Predator. Another one of my bands.
All right.
I like Apex Predator.
Dude, they're the best.
It's a good name too.
Weapon X.
And also that's an LDB band, isn't it?
Yes. Well, for the demo.
You can catch that next one because is that Sansquigabog?
Yes, I just wanted you to say it.
Did I get it right?
No.
But how do you say it? How do you say it?
Sansquigabog.
Sanguisugabog.
Sanguisugabog.
Why is that the name? Can you explain it to me?
I don't really know. I listened to Ace's podcast where the singer explained it, and I don't remember because
he explained it on Form of Passion. Okay. Yeah. All right. Everybody go there to understand it. I will too.
Shout out, Ace.
I will say that the reasons that were given to me for the name before were incorrect.
I can't imagine something like to do with like blood and like Satan or something, right?
I think we, all right, this is the game. We're each making up our own reason right now. Off the top of my head, it's a like Louisiana swamp fairy tale thing. This Sanguisugabog. It's like a Jersey Devil style thing.
Ooh, okay.
Okay. Like it's like not
your skinwalker.
Yeah. It's like a lizard man who eats alligators. In the deep swamps of Louisiana is the Sanguisugabog.
All right. I think it's the killer from the movie Basket Case.
I like it. Tyler.
I got nothing, but I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you the funniest mispronunciation of it I've heard.
Let's hear it.
The drummer in my old band called him Sanguine Sugar Bob.
I'm all right.
Which is awesome.
If you name your band that, you should just be okay with somebody, you know, like squiggledy do. Like, oh, yeah. Your band, like, it's cool. Like, you just got to do
it. No matter how badly you say it, everyone knows who you're talking about.
That's right. I got it. Sanguine Sugar Bob. Sanguine Sugar Bob is the real name of Skibbity Toilet.
Skibbity. Sanction.
Back. They're back.
Back. Pain of Truth. Wow. Back to back. Long Island.
These are alphabetical order, though.
Yes, they are. Yeah, they are.
Wait, that's from awesome. All right, Pain of Truth.
One Step Closer.
Never Ending Game. First time in Louisville.
How crazy do you think that'll be?
I don't know. I might be unconscious.
So how many songs you miss, it'll be how you like grade their set. Like, dude, I missed 6 of the 9 songs.
Pretty good.
Because I was out, they were pretty sick. Okay, got it.
Mind Force.
Military Gun.
Dude, it's landed on all the bands that I've done records for. Koyo did their 7-inch.
Hell yeah.
That's pretty great. I didn't realize that. King 9, Scared to Death, 10-year set, which I think is going to be an absolute bloodbath.
Yes. Harm's Way.
I'm really excited for them to get to play more off their new record. I'm just so happy for my boy Chris. And it really is continuing to follow Gates to Hell. I did a 12-inch.
Yeah, boy. Look at this.
Hometown Heroes.
There you go. And now they're on what? It's a major label. I just talked to
Nuclear Blast.
So sick.
Very cool.
They were just here with like Machine Head or something ridiculous.
Yep. That's like dream come true for their guitar player.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Which
I met them at one of their early shows they went to. They were wearing a Cro-Mag shirt. They play drums in Constraint now, but Constraint was just playing that show with a different lineup.
Right.
They were wearing a Cro-Mag shirt. We cover Cro-Mags. They were the only ones singing along, and now they play drums in Constraint.
That's pretty sick. And then they got to play a giant vent, like a 4,000 cap in New York with Machine Head and somebody else.
Fucking sick.
With Brian, what's the brother? Trey?
Yeah.
Brian Knoxloose's little brother is like an insane drummer.
Oh, yeah, right.
Who's in Gates to Hell.
That's amazing.
We got Fiddlehead.
Fiddlehead.
Always Anxious. The best on every fucking fat. I mean,
they do well. They do well. The interesting part is looking at this. There's a good chance that they have a funny, and same thing, Anxious too. Like, I don't know what these lineups will look like near the top and middle, but I hope they do some shit like, oh yeah, it's Harm's Way, Fiddlehead, Twitching Tongues. Like,
well, I mean, last year, remember they did Kubla Khan, Drug Church, Knocked Loose.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's what I want.
Pat was like shitting his pants. Pat was like, how the fuck do I follow Kubla Khan?
With stage dives.
They did well. He killed it.
I like that.
But I mean, like Kubla Khan, that Kubla Khan set was like fucking.
It was pretty stupid. Anything.
Yeah.
Anxious. Very excited. I don't know how they do in Louisville yet, but they're continuing to do cool stuff. Their new record, I think, is going to be a big one.
That makes me very excited. I love that. We met all those kids when Inclination played with One Step Closer when they had like. We're building that lineup that
was
a part of.
Yeah.
And that's just, it's so cool to see them come up like that. I'm very excited for Angel Dust to come back, man. I dig the last Angel Dust record.
A lot of people do. A lot of people do. And this is the thing we've hit on. Angel Dust at a fest, they can just do, you know, like they should do the weird thing. But if they feel like just knocking it out and be like, oh, we kind of want to get the best reaction on the show this weekend, we're just going to play our hits. Boom, they can, and it's a banger.
It's a party. So, yep. Party band.
Twitching Tongues. Yeah.
They've always done well in Louisville.
There's a lot to be said about Twitching Tongues. I think arguably their comeback has been the most successful. Like, I think people, when they went away, I don't think they went away like on a high, like not saying that it didn't quite, like they kind of went away and it was like, oh, weird. I think people realized they missed what that band was doing and now have not just everybody who liked them before is right back up front for it, but they've gained a lot of new people, and it's cool to see that.
No, very cool.
Absolutely. After them, you got the kings of death metal from fucking Tampa, Florida, Obituary. I think this... Now, Tyler, you give me what you think. I feel like everyone was talking about Dying Fetus at FYA and that being nuts and all that sort of stuff. I feel like this will be even crazier.
It's going to be violent.
Because they have all the mosh.
Yeah, it's going to be violent.
And you can actually kind of sing along to an Obituary song.
Yeah.
Like Redneck Stomp, someone is going to...
break their redneck.
Yeah, someone's going to get beat up. I can't wait to see the videos from that because I think that'll be fucking crazy. And then we got, what do you got?
Tsunami over Obituary.
Ooh, closing the second night of the festival.
Yes.
Tsunami.
And then this little band, Hatebreed. Hatebreed.
The first time I saw Hatebreed was at the United Blood they played. So I'm very excited for this. Yeah, I never liked Hatebreed when I was younger because I saw like the flame like print shit and I was like, this is for like Fox Racing people. This is not for me.
Fair.
No one I knew listened to Hatebreed.
Which blew my mind.
Nobody.
There was a little minute there. No, there's a little minute there. I understand it. Yep.
Yeah, and I guess at Louisville being so different, you guys had like By the Grace of God and like Guilt.
2PC. We're 2PC for Hatebreed.
You know what I mean? Like not even that, but like I feel like you guys had your own hometown heroes that you didn't need.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no.
When you first got Hatebreed, you're like, oh.
Well, it put so many things in context for me.
Right, because you hear like, oh, you've heard this everywhere.
Yes.
In every band you've heard in the last 25, 30 years.
Yes, a lot made sense.
Yeah. I wonder, this is like their 30th anniversary, so I wonder if they do like a lot of the fucking stuff off, you know, like Under the Knife. I think it'll be pretty fucking crazy.
Yeah. So shout out to LDB Fest.
It's going to be a fun time.
They did a wonderful job. I'm psyched that Louisville is such a, I've always had a soft spot in my heart for Louisville, and I'm happy that it's like a center point of hardcore every year now.
Yes, had a really good lunch at Churchill Downs once.
Me too.
And what is the thing? I ate a brown. What is the brown?
Hot brown. That shit sounds so gross, dude.
Hot brown sounds like a diarrhea poop.
I'm glad you liked it. It's not for me.
No.
What is a hot brown?
No, I didn't like it. It was something. I don't know. What is it? I ate it because it was there. And you're like, oh, you're supposed to eat this thing. Hot brown. Let's tell the people.
Hot brown? I don't really even know.
It's their Skyline chili. You know what I mean?
Hot brown is like,
I did eat it at the Brown Hotel. It's let's see here. It's an alternative to ham and eggs. It is open faced turkey, ham and bacon sandwich with mornay sauce, baked or broiled bread, and you can include tomatoes, mushrooms, I think I just had the straightforward one. It was, and I don't even like ham. It was just fine. It was not very good. Here's my question for you, Tyler. We're not doing interview deep dive. When did you first start going to shows?
2005.
Okay.
What was going on in Louisville? Or did you go to like Chicago or Cincinnati?
So I was going to shows in Louisville because the kid who was taking me to them was promising me that we'd go to the skate park afterwards. And that's
you got groomed in the hardcore. Weird.
Yeah, that was it. Come on, kid. There were three bands happening in Louisville at that time with teenagers playing hardcore music that was contemporary to the time. Because at the same time, Coliseum was going on.
Right.
Black Cross was going on.
But those things feel a million miles away.
Yes. So there were high school kids playing in a comic book themed hardcore band called Gantha with songs called like Hulk Smash. And in brightest day and blackest night,
really of the time, yeah. Like yes. They were just like pulling straight from the headlines of the comic shop.
And there was another band called Brains Out that was a Cold World clone,
really,
which
makes sense for the time.
Not gonna lie, dude, it fucking rocked.
Is any of this stuff on like Bandcamp or anything?
I think Brains Out might be on Bandcamp. I don't know about Gantha, but I bet you can get their 7-inch for $1 on Discogs. But both those bands would do like lots of like classic hardcore covers, like Misfits, Bad Brains, Minor Threat.
Awesome. You
know, so that was me going to shows and already liking that stuff through skateboard videos, and then realizing I could go and see a Misfits cover played in person in front of me. But because of that, like those kids would play with hardcore bands and they would sometimes bring them to Louisville. And that's how I saw Expired Youth for the first time. And that's how I saw Van Damage.
Oh yeah.
One of my early hardcore shows was Van Damage with Brains Out.
Let me do a quick pause. Van Damage is this band who was not, they did not do very well. They were not like huge or anything.
Mm-hmm. No, not at all.
But I have heard more stories like what you were saying to me about that, about Van Damage over the past 10, 15 years. Like, oh yeah, I went and saw this band Van Damage. Like, because I think this is for another day, but I think they were playing with the local young teen high school hardcore bands in that time frame as much as anyone. Right. And there were bands who were doing bigger, but like if a Have Heart came to town, maybe what's it, Bantha isn't on the show? I don't know.
Gantha.
Okay. But when Van Damage comes to town, yeah, that's the bands they're playing with. And that's like, I think they ended up leaving this funny impression. So shout out to Van Damage. That's
fascinating. Yeah, no, I mean, it stuck with me. And that was the first time I saw Piling On at a show. And it really left an impression on me. And that time too, like there was the Maximum Louisville scene, which was the Black Cross Coliseum stuff. Yeah. And they would bring like I missed a Veil by like a few months, the last time they ever played Louisville. I missed Paint It Black because I went skateboarding instead. But that was the kind of bands that they were bringing. They
was the bringing Brick Place still Brick House?
No, Brick House was done. Brick House was done at the point when I started going. So I also, the skate park, so Riot, where LDB used to take place, they did shows at that venue when I was like skating on the team. And on a few occasions, I helped take Door. And then I just got picked up by my dad and went home. And one time I took Door for a Bane show. And then...
Oh, amazing. They're like, get out of here.
Oops. Yeah, I'm out. So. There's a lot. We're going to do... You've been good, so you're going to come back at some point. But what I wanted to get to is Midwest Blood.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this as a concept early on Axe to Grind. But that... Hardcore in the middle of the country. And that's a lot of places. Look, when I say the middle of the country, that's not just one place. That's a many different places, you know. Louisville is a storied place of hardcore and punk going all the way back and has had lots of bands who had huge reach everywhere. But in terms of scene, in terms of local, in terms of like putting on, it would be feast or famine. It would be waves. Sometimes it was awesome. Sometimes it was nothing, like nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And you could feel that. And you could feel that across different places. And so a lot of it would be dependent upon touring from, you know, the Northeast and then California bands. And like, oh, is there a big band from Chicago or many, you know, wherever? But now, you fast forward, I think, I don't, you can give me a better sense of timing, but maybe it's in 2010, 11, 12, 13 range. All of a sudden there starts to be this Midwest scene that isn't just like, it's kind of like the Midwest, stretch mm-hmm. it out. That becomes a thing, and it's like Midwest bands who are playing the Midwest and making that where you can do weekends where it's like, yeah, we did Chicago, Milwaukee, Omaha or whatever. We can go down and do Cincinnati, Louisville, St. Louis, whatever. And there was this whole circuit. So tell me about that time. Tell me about Midwest Blood and how that all came about.
So the first touring band I was ever in was we were an early closed casket band, or like one of the earlier closed casket bands that he like reached outside of New York for. It was a band called Rattletooth.
Yep.
And Black Teeth was another one from Peoria, Illinois. And so that was sort of like this is like predating when Midwest Blood is like a kind of movement or idea started. And there was like a lot of people in different areas like Iowa and I want to say Nebraska that would try to start like a no coast movement.
Yeah.
Like that was like a thing. And it could only get so big if you were just playing locally. And around that time specifically, like it started building around 2007, I would say 2007, 2008, was these little connections between Louisville and Peoria, Louisville and St. Louis, and Cincinnati was kind of in there a little bit with some bands, but Cincinnati's kind of always been its own thing. Cincinnati kind of always still was like the hub that got the bigger shows.
Yeah, right.
When Louisville didn't. But concurrently, when this Midwest Blood stuff started to build, which all of those Midwest Blood bands were all the bands that basically Rattletooth used to tour with in that era. So like people from Milwaukee who Rattletooth used to tour with playing Harm's Way now. People who we would tour with from Missouri play an Inclination now.
Wow.
Yeah. Like that's where Caleb comes from. And like Iowa and like people went on to, you know, BNA Disgrace Band expire. But
yeah.
Right. But all of us met around that time and we kind of just like tied all of our scenes together in a way like for survival because it happened at the same time that a lot of us were the only ones willing to book bands like Forfeit or Foundation or Trapped Under Ice in their early times. So like all of these like bigger coast bands in Soul Search and Twitching Tongues and like all these coast bands started like figuring out the only way for them to get through the Midwest was to kind of web themselves in with this little network that we'd already built out. We basically did the book your own life for just the Midwest. Like you had your people you knew you could hit up to for shows. And then Rattletooth, I was in Rattletooth and Another Mistake concurrently. And that's when, so Midwest Blood kind of started around the time when Rattletooth died. And Another Mistake was the go-between band between Midwest Blood and Midwest Wolfpack, which tied in the KC scene.
Oh, yeah.
Chicago scene and the Indianapolis scene. So there was that like, more punk.
Yeah,
more like
Spine and that stuff.
Yeah, Spine and Kicked In and Razor Fade was a band from Chicago.
And Kicked In was from Indy, Indianapolis.
Kicked In was KC.
Oh, okay. Who am I thinking of? It was the Indianapolis band.
Pit Clean was the indie band.
That's right.
Pit Clean was the indie band, and there was like this band Misled Youth that was from Indy. Great fucking band name. Ryan from Expired Youth, I can't remember he was in a few bands other than Thought Crusade around that time that kind of looped into that scene too. So there was like two concurrent things going for like the more punky side and then the more like straightforward hardcore side that really just like fueled a lot of like the Midwest energy, whether it was the Midwest Blood bands like Expired Youth, Harm's Way, Out of Time was St. Louis, Another Mistake. And then there was the Midwest Wolfpack bands as well. And then when Midwest Blood started, the fest, it kind of pulled all those scenes together into one. So you had like, that was one of Ryan and Alex's like moves from the start of doing that fest for the first few years, at least before coast bands were really down to come. Was to at least get like a couple, like Malfunction played the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to even remember who else from, because I think Caught in a Crowd was supposed to play the first one, but they like flipped their van on the way there.
Yeah. That was a band who had like the worst luck with all that stuff, actually.
Yeah. That was a band that had the worst luck in every band they were in also.
Yeah, right.
It followed them.
Yeah. wild. Anyway, so continue. Yeah.
But yeah, so, but from that, like from the goal of having like a couple coast bands, it was, all right, we need somebody from Ohio. We need somebody from Illinois. We need somebody from Indy. We need somebody from St. Louis, and just to make it so that those scenes would want to come too.
That's right.
And it worked.
Yeah.
And it worked every year. Like even when they started bringing the Texas bands, you would have like 30 or 40 people roll up from Texas for the fest.
Look, it's something I mean, look, we did it with Sound and Fury, like the earliest years of Sound and Fury. We're like, oh, if we book Texas bands, not only will they come, 40 or 50 of their friends are going to come to California, and they would drive, man. And that's a 20 hour, and they go off, and they're there to see all the bands. And look, like, I'm going to say this, secret sauce to Sound and Fury, especially early years, was that we knew we had to do it as a West Coast fest. We wanted, there were East Coast bands we wanted, but it was like important that we had a bunch of bands from the Northwest and that we had a ton of California bands, because we're like, yo, California, look, just do the math. It's 40 million people in California by itself. You do that. The Midwest, when Midwest Blood started happening, I remember that. What's the first year of Midwest Blood? Do you remember?
It's 2012, I think.
Okay, right.
It's the year I tore my ACL.
Right. the way we remember these things. I was like knee deep in a pretty serious job. I think my significant other maybe was pregnant and like whatever. I had a lot of life stuff going on. I remember seeing the flyer for Midwest Blood. I knew some of the names, you know, the bigger ones. But there's a bunch I didn't. And I'm looking at it, it's all Midwest. And I'm like, all right, that's cool. But that is the formula. And that is what I think people need to understand. And it's up till that point, I can't stress this enough. The Midwest was a place that people would go and stop at on tour dates kind of exclusively. And different little places you were talking about, all these scenes, they'd have their own identity. And they still do. But I think there's this more coalesced, like connective network, at least for several years. And I hope that we're still seeing that, or it's something people are learning from. There was strength in numbers in the way that was all organized. You just spelled it out specifically. And I think that's so amazing to see, because that's when it boils down on hardcore. That's the stuff that makes this special. Being able to take that and go, oh, hey, if we booked that band from Ohio and we like those guys, then that's a good band anyways. And we booked that band from Iowa and we booked this band from Nebraska and this band, all those people are going to come. And then, by the way, when everybody's going the next year, everybody's going to want to go even more. And now you have a thing. And that kind of rolls into being able to go, oh, cool. More people are coming to our local shows here in Peoria. More people are coming to our local shows here. Da, da, da. By the way, now we have all these different places we can play and we can make this work. It's amazing. So,
well, and the I mean, it happens at every fest, but when it started happening with our fest and we realized like, oh, there are bands that are meeting and like going on tour together afterwards because they just ran into each other here and maybe they wouldn't have met otherwise.
No. it's amazing. So a brief history of the Midwest, modern Midwest. I appreciate it. We were going to talk about some other stuff. It's getting late here. I think we're going to call it, but Tyler, you were a fantastic third mic. We're going to have to send you a microphone down in Louisville.
I have a microphone.
Of course you have a microphone. Yeah,
no, can I say something? He's being Pat right now.
Yeah.
You know how we used to be like, remember when we started the podcast and Pat would never mention it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This motherfucker has his own podcast and his own setup that he does with our good friend Brian Wallace. How about you talk about that for a second?
Yeah, all right. Big up your podcast.
Well, yeah. So, well, our good friend Tom has guested. He was our first guest on the podcast. It's a country music podcast for hardcore kids. It kind of centers around me and Brian's common obsession with this guy, Steve Earle, is my favorite songwriter. But we talk a little core every now and then. We relate everything back to hardcore or Love Steve it. Earle in some way. But every now and then, we're trying to do more guests with We've had Tom. We've had Jesse Kowalski from Meantime. We had my friend Scott, who booked, if you want a good Louisville history of booking shows at a dead time, having Scott on, he basically kept Louisville alive for a couple of years by booking, I think, three or four eras of my bands.
What is the name of the podcast?
Called Hardcore Troubadour.
Hardcore Troubadour, which yeah. Troubadour is spelled T-R-O-U-B-A-D-O-U-R, Troubadour. Everyone should check that out. Shout out to Brian Wallace, who is an early guest who should be a return guest.
He was an early guest when we had Chris from Dublin, Ireland on.
Yeah.
It was in my old apartment.
I do remember. It was fantastic. It was an in-person. I found the baseball that Chris from Dublin gave me the other day.
Shout out Brian's, Chris, Brian, man.
Brian's great. I'm looking at him right now.
Tell Brian we said hello, and he's going to be our guest soon.
Hello, Brian.
Everybody, coming back at you next week. Shout out to Tyler. Listen to Inclination. Listen to Hardcore Troubadour. Support LDB Records. And don't own a smartphone. Ha ha ha.